Friends, we're going to be continuing our series looking at Ruth, and we are in Ruth 3 today. I really encourage you, if you haven't brought a Bible with you, do grab one. The amazing team there, Liz is there passing out Bibles. Just to help you, you can use the index, guys, but otherwise it's on page 269. And don't worry, if you've got the large print, it's still page 269, because I checked. I don't know why I checked, because it's just a larger print, but there you go, 269. And if you haven't got a Bible, and you're like, wow, this is great, take it with you. If you haven't got a Bible, we want to bless you with it. So please take one, and nobody dare say, why have you taken that Bible with you? Because we don't want these Bibles just to stay here. We've got more, and we can put them out. Take one, read it. We're going to be looking at Ruth 3. And you're going to need either use the little QR code behind me, use your phone, and it will take you to the passage. That would be really good. And we're going to not read it all at once. We're going to be reading it in sections as we go through. So it's an interesting passage, I'm really praying that God will speak to you through it. And maybe just before we start reading it, maybe you just want to say, okay, Lord, I'm open to hearing from you today. I don't want you to hear, friends, from me. I want you to hear from the Lord. So, Lord Jesus, the preparation that's been done, Lord, take it, use it, I pray. But I pray that you would speak to me even more than you have in my preparation, Lord. I pray you'd speak to me more, that I'd become more like you. And I pray that for my dear friends here. Help us to go places that we never even thought possible. I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's have a little look in Ruth 3 at Naomi's plan, starting at verses 1 through to 4. One day Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor." I don't know if you know what winnowing is. You're about to find out, because I'm going to tell you. Winnowing is a process used to separate the edible grains from the chaff and other unwanted materials after harvesting. Traditionally, this involves throwing the barley in the air and allowing the wind to blow away the lighter chaff while the heavier grain falls to the ground and can be collected. So there you go. If you're wondering what winnowing is, that's what it was. We're going to carry on in verse 3. "Wash, put on perfume, get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lays down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." Friends, God will use anyone who is open to him to achieve his purposes. Ruth was open to following her mother-in-law Naomi's counsel, and God uses Ruth's openness to bring blessing. You see, Ruth loved her mother-in-law Naomi. Remember, Ruth was recently a widow, and she begged to stay with Naomi. Ruth was also a Moabite, a member of the ancient people of Moab, a kingdom located east of the Dead Sea, known to you and me as modern-day Jordan. In verse 3, Naomi's plan starts to take shape. Wash, put on perfume, get dressed in your best clothes. You see, Ruth had been widowed and was lightly dressed in ritual clothing of a mourning widow. By Naomi saying to Ruth, "Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes," she is signaling to Boaz Ruth's mourning is over. Naomi's plan is detailed and well thought out. She goes on to say in verse 4, "When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down." Really important to note here that Naomi is not telling Ruth to have sex with Boaz. She's telling Ruth to uncover his feet, to expose them to the night air, so he would gently wake up without being too startled. I've just got to go back to that little bit here where I said she is signaling to Boaz Ruth's mourning is over. As I said that, I had a prompt, and I'm going back to it because I just want to say, if there's somebody here who is mourning, maybe the Lord is saying, your mourning is over. Your mourning is over. You see, Naomi had a plan, and Ruth listens to her counsel. Friends, it's really important to have people around you that you can trust, that you can have good counsel from. Just like Naomi gave counsel to Ruth. Secondly, Ruth's obedience. Love this here. It says in verse 5, I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. As soon as I say that, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but who here is thinking, I wouldn't do everything my mother-in-law told me to do? You know, if I'm honest, that's what I was thinking. So you probably are Gordon Gillespie. There we go. But it's important. Mother-in-laws can speak into our lives. Friends, how obedient are you? How obedient are you? Quick story. My little son, he's not so little now, he's 13. And he needs his sleep. So, most of the time, we'll go, Josh, it's time to go to bed at 10 o'clock, which I think is quite late. He'll go, okay, up he goes. But he will sometimes say, no, I don't want to. I want to watch some more of X, Y, or Z, whatever it is that he's watching or doing, or suddenly decides to, you know, repack his school bag at 10 o'clock at night, even though he's already done it, just anything. But you see, if he doesn't go to bed at 10 o'clock, he'll wake up the next morning and he'll be really grumpy. You see, Josh needs his sleep. When he's obedient, though, he wakes up and he is delightful. Friends, who of us, and I mean that actually, he is. But if he doesn't get his sleep, he's not. Ruth is obedient. How many of us struggle with being obedient? Maybe God is saying something to you and you're like, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Friends, be obedient to God's call on your life, just as Ruth was obedient. In the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria, if you're wondering where that is, it's now part of Germany, grew tired of court life and the pressures of being a monarch. He made an application to Prior Richard at the local monastery, asking to be accepted as a monk and spend the rest of his life in the monastery. Your Majesty, said Prior Richard, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That will be hard because you have been king. I understand, said King Henry. The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you. The prior said, then I will tell you what to do. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. When King Henry died, a statement was written, the king learned to rule by being obedient. Friends, when you tire of your roles and responsibilities, it helps to remember God has planted you in a certain place. And he asks you, friends, to be a good accountant, maybe a good teacher, a good nurse, director, shopkeeper, hairdresser, decorator, mentor, doctor, mother, plumber, business owner, neighbor, friend, father. Whatever God has called you to, friends, just as Ruth was, be obedient to the call. One of the things where I was obedient, I guess, at work, was when I got invited to go on the quest. And I don't know if any of you heard of this thing, the quest? A few of you have heard of it? Okay. Well, Stephen sat me down in his little office. Well, it's not a little office now, it's quite a nice office. Same size as me. We're very blessed with our office. Thank you, Bob, wherever you are. You didn't make them small like you were going to. So that was great. Anyway, getting on to this. So he sat me down. He said, James, it would be really good for you to have a retreat. I said, okay. So he said this thing called The Quest. Danny, I nearly said bangs on about it. No offence. He loves it and it is really good. And he shares it and Kirsty does as well. And he said, James, I'd like you to go on Quest. So I said, okay. I said, yeah, okay. And I went off to America. It sounds very nice, but some of you have been and you probably wouldn't have wanted me on your quest. So I went where I knew absolutely nobody. I had a great time. Small, in the small print, Stephen didn't tell me, was that you have no mobile phone for the whole 6 days, which actually was a great blessing once I was there. But my word, that was like hard getting your head round. No contact with the outside world, with my wife and two children. They coped, I just about coped. And then the last bit of all, for 30 years I have not slept in a dormitory. No, I say dormitory, like four single beds, very nice, very palatial. It's not like sort of the films, you know, where they're all in dormitories. And it was really good. But you see, I had to be obedient. I could have said, oh, actually, it's too busy, which often I might have done, actually, when it's been suggested before. But I had to be obedient. What is God asking you to be obedient about? It might not be to go on quest, but it might be. Are you open to what God wants to do in and through you? Shall we just watch this little video for a moment?
I started my quest journey April of 2019 in Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
I started my quest January 2020.
When I got here,
there were some things in my life that I was dealing with.
I was in my head too much.
And I thought that I was saved.
Been a Christian my whole life.
I didn't know my true identity in him. I had a lot of hurt in my heart.
And I hadn't had an intimate experience with him.
And I really wasn't sure what to expect.
I met Jesus Christ.
And he took me by my face.
In an intimate, personal way.
And he said, I chose you. I reached out and grabbed his hand. And the Lord healed me.
And it was beautiful.
It was a life-changing experience.
And I felt accepted.
It's very hard to put into words.
It filled a hole that I needed to fill.
Honestly, feel like I saved my marriage.
If one can lay it all at his feet, you can truly experience freedom.
So friends, I encourage you, maybe it's Quest, maybe it's something else. Chat to Danny and Kirsty about it. Chat to me about it. I'll tell you about it. I won't tell you everything. There's no secrets about going on the quest. It's just it will spoil it for you if you know everything that's going to happen. There are sacred moments. So do chat to me. But maybe God is calling you to be obedient in another area. Just be obedient to what God is calling you to. Thank you, Danny and Kirsty, for leading it. And by the way, we showed the American version. All of you are sat there who don't like watching American. They're great people. I met some amazing Americans, right? Don't allow the American accent to put you off, okay? Please, I really mean that. They are delightful. We've got a couple over there. Well, one, and one honorary. Yeah, but honestly, they're amazing. And I say that, too often we pick up stuff and we go, oh, it's American. Rubbish. Can I just say, absolute nonsense. It's really good. I encourage you to look at it. Go and chat with us afterwards. Maybe God's calling you to something else, but maybe it could be that. Thirdly, Ruth's courage. Let's continue. Verse 7. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. Who are you? He asked. I am your servant, Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. Friends, remember, Boaz is a descendant of Rahab, a former prostitute from Jericho. Friends, God redeems in beautiful, beautiful ways. Boaz is also a successful and wealthy farmer. Ruth shows significant courage in approaching Boaz at the threshing floor. Her willingness to step out of social norms demonstrates her faith and determination. This could so easily have gone wrong, but Ruth trusted her mother-in-law Naomi and trusted God. In verse 9 we read, "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." It's important to remember that Ruth is not trying to seduce Boaz, but she is proposing marriage to him. The euphemism for marriage in the Hebrew Bible, God himself uses it to describe his covenant with Israel as a betrothal. In Ezekiel 16:8, we read, "Later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine." Wow, you may be thinking, this is a bit forward of Ruth. But she puts it in a gentle way, "Spread the corner of your garment over me," rather than, "Will you marry me?" But why Boaz, you might be asking. You see, in biblical times, a guardian redeemer or kinsman redeemer was a relative who had responsibility to protect the family's interests, especially in matters of land and inheritance. This role is outlined in the book of Ruth. For those of you interested, there are three key responsibilities of a guardian redeemer. Firstly, redeeming the land. If a family member fell into poverty and had to sell their land, the guardian redeemer had the right to buy it back to keep it within the family. Secondly, marrying a widow. If a man died without children, his brother or closest relative could marry the widow to produce heirs, ensuring the deceased's lineage continued. And finally, avenging wrongdoing. The guardian redeemer could also act to avenge a family member who had been wronged or killed. So here you have Ruth being courageous, going to the threshing room and asking Boaz to marry her. Billy Graham said, "Courage is contagious. When a brave person takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened." How often do you and I show courage in our lives? Are you being called to be courageous at work? Maybe in a family situation? Maybe to make a stand about justice issue at work, or even locally where something is just not right. And the Lord is asking you to be courageous. Friends, step into it. God will be with you just as he was with Ruth. Boaz's gentleness and care. Verse 10 we read, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. I don't know about you, but if somebody woke me up in the middle of the night, I'm not sure "bless you, my daughter" would be the thing I'd say. Certainly, if I'm honest, when Sophie comes in on a Friday night after a late night and at 1 o'clock in the morning you hear the door go and she wants to catch up, "bless you, my daughter." But here, Boaz says that. It's a really profound moment. There's a gentleness and a care. Just for the record, by the way, I think I'm pretty gentle and pretty kind, because I'm usually the one picking her up, actually, from wherever she is. But here, Boaz says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter." Maybe you need to hear that today. "The Lord bless you, my daughter, my son." Let's carry on. He replied, "This kindness is greater than that which showed earlier. You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here till the morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. Friends, Boaz even protects Ruth in those moments. He noticed Ruth. The guys pray before the service and they listen to what God might say. And this is what they said today. Father wants individuals to be seen this morning. He knows, loves, and accepts you as you are. Friends, just as Boaz noticed Ruth, so the Lord notices every single one of you in this room. He notices you. He knows you. Whether you're like my friend, Laurie, who's 90 this week, or whether you're like my friend Carol over here, who's 20 years younger, yesterday, he notices you. God notices you, just as Boaz noticed Ruth. Friends, who are you called to protect? Boaz protected Ruth. Maybe a member of your family, a mother or a father, an aunt or an uncle, a son or a daughter. We can do it with gentleness and care, just like Boaz demonstrates. As I was preparing, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I think, particularly around marriages, but actually around all relationships. God calls us all to show gentleness and care for our spouses. The piece I want to read to you was read to Helen and I at our wedding. We had a guy called Jim Graham take it over in Woodley near Reading. Jim used to be the pastor here for many years. But he encouraged Helen and I to remind each other of these words. And I shared them at the Greenwoods Life Group this week when I was sharing. But the Lord really said, share them today. These words were for Helen and I, but I really believe they're for you, some of you here today. Some of you will have been through tough situations with marriages and you've separated. God still notices and loves you. But particularly had these words for some of you here who are married. In fact, all of us actually can take hold of these. A year from today, by my own free choice, I am now committed to your happiness, security, and well-being. I'll do all in my power to draw out the full potential in you and to make our marriage work. I will love you with a tender love. If you have tried and failed and just need a hand in yours in the darkness of disappointment, you can count on mine. I'm dedicated to your growth and fulfillment. As a person, I've committed to love you with an unconditional love. You don't have to be fearful that that love will ever be taken away. There is no admission price to my love, and there may be days when disagreements and disturbing emotions may come between us. There may be times when psychological or even physical walls may lie between us, but I have given you the word of my commitment. I have set my life on a course. I will not go back on my word to you. I will not reject you. I am committed to your growth and happiness. I will always love you. Friends, maybe there's some of you here today who are married who need to commit to being like that. Let's live out gentleness and care in our marriages. Let's live out gentleness and care in our church family, in all of our relationships. Let's love and care, but do it with gentleness, just as Boaz did. The next one gets interesting as well. Boaz's generosity and kindness. Verse 15. He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he... Now, this is really interesting. Who's got a little C by that? Anybody got a little C? No? Oh, you're now looking. Get the glasses out. Don't worry, I have to. I've got 26 print here now. It goes up a couple of notches every time. It's really interesting to note here. Then he, many Hebrew manuscripts and other translations say she, just thought you might be interested, went back to town. So it might have been he went back or she did. But then it says, when Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Friends, Boaz is a wise man, you see. He knows what Naomi's up to. And in a gentle way, says as much by saying, "Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed." As we know, Ruth is a widow, and she would not have had much, and has already been given the opportunity to have bread and roasted grains we read about in Ruth 2. But Boaz was generous and kind. Am I always generous and kind? Friends, kindness is the oil that takes the friction out of life. You may be saying to yourself, "I don't have anyone I can be kind to." Friends, wherever there are people, there are opportunities for kindness. How can you and I show kindness to those around us? What difference can we make in your places of influence? William Booth put it like this: "While women weep, as they do now, I'll fight. While children go hungry, as they do now, I'll fight. While men go to prison, in and out, as they do now, I'll fight. While there is a drunkard left, while there is a poor lost girl upon the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight to the end." Friends, Boaz was generous and kind. How are you and I showing that generosity and kindness? Proverbs 22:9 says, "The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor." Friends, one way you can do it is this little box. You could maybe show kindness to a child in another country by filling it with some gifts. If you haven't got time to do that, I think you can just basically give them some money and they'll do it for you. But maybe that's a way that you can practically show kindness. Maybe it's through the food bank. It might not have gone unnoticed that we haven't had a harvest offering this year. We're actually going to be having a Christmas harvest offering so that we can bless people in our community with Christmas hampers. More to follow. But let's show generosity and kindness to those around. Maybe it's at work. Maybe you can be kind to the people in your workplace and take them some, I'm not sure actually it's being kind, please don't bring them here, cakes maybe, or maybe a bowl of fruit. How can you show kindness? People are very kind. They always give us. They say, "We're just having a little bit of a diet at home, so we're blessing you with all the chocolates." And they appear in our staff room. And that is not good for me, because I try really hard, and I get to about 4:30 in the afternoon, and I think, "Oh, there's those chocolates just laying there, that dairy milk. I better just go and get one." Friends, how can you be kind in your workplace? How can you be kind at your school? How can you be kind to your family? To your neighbours, we can all do it and be generous. And can I just say, it might be hard. Some of you in your workplace are having a hard time, but maybe you can still be kind, and maybe you can totally throw their thinking by being generous, by taking a tub of celebration. Just say, "Guys, we had a tough week last week, but let's keep going on that project." Proverbs 3:3-4 says, "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you'll find favour with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation." We're almost coming into land. But finally, Boaz's reputation. Verse 18, "Then Naomi said, 'Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man, Boaz, will not rest until the matter is settled today.'" Friends, clearly Naomi knew Boaz had a good reputation. He was a man of integrity and would keep his word. Boaz has already promised Ruth he would effectively marry her if the other guardian redeemer said no. In verse 13, Boaz says, "Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it." Jackson Brown Jr. put it like this: live so that when your children think of fairness, caring, and integrity, they think of you. Maybe for you, it's live so that when your children, or your maybe your friends, or maybe even your neighbors think of you, fairness and caring and integrity is what they think of you. You see, Boaz had a good reputation. He was seen as a man of integrity, of good standing. What is God asking you to do? As the Nike advert says, just do it. Just do it. You may say, I have a bad reputation at work, or with my family or my neighbours. But you know what? The power of the Holy Spirit can change that. You can live differently. I don't know if you know this story, but one day, a guy called Alfred, his brother died, and the newspaper printed Alfred's obituary notice by mistake. You see, Alfred was a Swedish chemist, and he made money from making explosives and licensing the formula to governments to make weapons. Shocked to read that he would be remembered as a merchant of death and destruction, he turned his life around and created the Nobel Peace Prize, an award for exceptional contribution to the betterment of the world. Alfred Nobel is remembered for his contribution to peace and human achievement, not explosives. Friends, what will you and I be remembered for? Boaz is remembered as a guy of good standing who kept his word. What will I be remembered for? Friends, Naomi had a plan. Ruth showed obedience. Ruth also showed courage. Boaz had gentleness and care, and also had generosity and kindness. And Boaz also had a reputation. How about you? How about you? I'm just going to ask Anita to come up and to play in a few moments, but we're going to watch a little video. And then I'm going to make it personal. So easily we can go, oh, well, Ruth was a good person. Boaz was all right. But how does this touch down for you and for me? Let's watch this little video that just reminds us of the call that is got on our lives. Father God, thank you. Thank you that each person here is chosen. Thank you that they were chosen by you. Thank you for each person. There is a plan for their lives. Thank you that we have a choice today. Help us, I pray, to be obedient to the call on our lives, to show courage, to live our lives with gentleness and care, to be people of generosity and kindness. And I pray that people would notice and see us as your followers, that our reputation will be people who care, who show kindness and generosity, and point people to yourself, I pray. Thank you that there is not one person here that you don't want to do business with. So help us, I pray, in these moments, to allow you to speak to us. And may this touch that down in my life, in our lives, I pray.